Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, September 14th, and we're back as always.
Good morning.
Because it's a weekday, and we're here. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. No, I'm good. Hi, I'm here. Happy to be here.
Good. It's that kind of a morning, folks. Yeah. It's gotten chilly outside, huh? It's really nice.
It's a chilly 79, so still
at night it's very cold.
Oh yeah, it is cooling down at night.
I need
a sweatshirt. I've been skateboarding at night, so
at night.
Yeah,
oh, how cool.
So I need the sweatshirt.
Yeah, where do you skateboard? Like in the middle of the street or something?
We find a safe area where other six-year-olds can skateboard. No, just like in a neighborhood in Los Feliz, whatever, however you pronounce it. Yeah. Because I was like, I can't go to a skateboard park because that's embarrassing.
But why? There's people skateboarding at any age, no?
I'm sure at any age, right? Yeah. But I just, for me, I want to show up to the skate park like as like Bam Margera. You know what I mean? Or like Tony
Hawk.
You
want to be prepared.
Like they're like, where did this girl come from? And, you know, but I'm not in, I just want to cruise. Like I'm just trying to get comfortable on the board. So when I go down to Venice, I can fit in.
That's cool. I never got on a board, and I'm actually kind of afraid to. Did you ever get on those, like, what they call them? Like, those with the two wheels? It's like scooters. What they call them? They're not scooters.
They were...
like Segways, but without...
Yeah, I did try that, and I felt dumb. I just need to skateboard.
That's crazy, you know. I mean, Segways
but
are
also
a whole different
those were
thing.
Like exploding.
Yeah?
Yeah, like people, they were like overheating or catching fire, and I'm like, not for me.
I know, what is it? Everything explodes today, you know? I mean, phones and electric cigarettes and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're always like, people are like, this is going to, my vape pen is going to explode. I'm like, that would be a pretty sick way to go out, though.
Right.
She died doing what she was loved. She loved doing. So...
Cool. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our guests. We have two young guests in the studio. I always like young people because
it
makes me feel young.
You're for sure an ageist.
Yeah, I'm ageist. But last night, I went to have some falafel, and the guy's like, wow, you know, you look good. How old are you? And I said, 57. And then I'm thinking, was he like hitting on me or something? Well, what is
Where
that?
Where did you go to get this falafel?
Right here. There's a Tel Aviv restaurant here in North Hollywood.
Called?
Tel Aviv.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Do they
have
falafel,
amazing shawarma.
Shawarma. Do they have pickles?
Pickles.
Ugh,
yeah, they have everything.
Can we please have a lunch there?
Yeah.
Let's have a team lunch.
For sure, you know. But it was funny because I went there last week, and the same guy, he's just a funny guy that started working there. So I'm like, so he's like, what do you want in your sandwich? And I said, well, I said, bam, bam, and bam. And I pointed to it. He's like, bam, bam. I said, I'm too tired to think of the names of the vegetables now. And he started laughing, and he was laughing with his friend, and he told him what I'd said. And it sounded funny. I said, look, I said, don't make fun of me. You know, I'm just high, man. I'm too tired to think of the names of the vegetables. And they were just like rolling on the floor, you know. It was so funny. So I reminded them of it last night.
You're a proper comedian.
Yeah, I guess, you know. What can you do? But I forgot the names for a moment in Hebrew. You know, I was speaking to him in Hebrew, and it just didn't come to me in a second. Yeah, they all are there. So, yeah, I would highly recommend you go there. If you're on the other side of town, they have one
in
Tarzana.
How's their falafel?
It's amazing. All of it is amazing, just like in Israel.
Have you been to Joe's Falafel in Studio City?
No, where's that?
It's off, you know, when Cahuenga turns into like Cahuenga East, or is it East? Or
right.
Cahuenga West, whatever. It's in Studio City, like right when you're crossing over from Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
So
I'll
it's on the left-hand side. It's called Joe's Falafel.
Are they Israeli or what? Just Middle Eastern, some other...
See, the thing is they're I haven't got to the bottom of what right. region.
Well, if it was Israeli, I would have known about it probably.
But so. He's the nicest guy ever, and yeah. I'm like a falafel connoisseur. Like I need to
really?
Find.
Well, I'll send you to another place here. They're both in North Hollywood.
I need shawarma and falafel. I need to taste all hummuses.
Okay.
In my life, I'm in a pursuit.
Yeah. Well, once you go there, you won't go anywhere else. I promise you that.
See, that's when I love, and I love the mom and pop places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. So at any rate, that was the case there. What else did I want to bring up? I forgot, but I guess it doesn't really matter. A couple things. Well, I don't really want to get into any of this shit in the news. It really either irritates me or bothers me, you know? And
I haven't been watching the news as much. I haven't been getting my Rachel dose of Rachel Maddow, but I did see a really good clip from Joe Rogan about mainstream media and just his thoughts on, like, you know, these people who are corporations, which is basically businesses, you know, CNN, Fox, wherever. And it's like, pay attention to, because you, he was like, I was watching, I forget which situation or devastation was happening, and he put on one news channel and then he put on the other, and they were saying two completely different things.
Really?
And he was like, you know, you got to look at the vested interests at the top, like where the money is coming from.
Right.
And just like, I forget what his point was. It wasn't like fuck mainstream. It wasn't like a Donald Trump rant, but it was just like, pay attention to the information that you're receiving and the intent behind it. Like, what is it that they're trying to sell? And
right.
like, the point is like, a lot of times the media wants to scare people, the fear mongering
right.
and whatnot. So I just think he's brilliant, and he said something really smart about it that really resonated with me that I obviously can't reciprocate back.
Yeah, right.
You know, but yeah.
Oh, well, what can you do, you know?
But yeah, so I understand. I just get, oh, I'm so over the news, but I love MSNBC. I love Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
I love her. I think
cool.
She's
I never watched it. I'll try.
She's on 6 o'clock every day, or Monday through Friday, MSNBC, but Fridays are the best days because that's when like the Trump news dump comes and she just like has to put together her investigative reporting.
Like, all right. Well, you know, so it goes, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guests right now, especially since there's nothing to talk about and they're so exciting. And we're going to be joined by Victoria Fratz and Aaron Fratkin. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi there. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wait, your names are similar. Are they similar? And I just, or did I hear that
They're
wrong?
They're very similar.
Very similar. Yeah.
See, you could be a member of the tribe. You just wouldn't even,
I'm
you
so
know,
close.
Maybe years back, you know,
yeah.
thousands.
How are they similar? Fratz and Fratkin? Oh, okay.
Fratz,
I can
Fratkin.
See. FRA.
I mean, lining up in middle school, they would have been right behind each other. So.
Yeah, that's true,
sure.
right?
We could have been making
them.
Movies
we
in middle school.
We combine them quite often.
Yeah.
Fratskin.
That's
yeah,
Fratskin.
That's
Fratskin.
What I'm saying. Someone said it sounds like foreskin.
No,
it's
oh, God.
No, it's college, fraternity.
Yeah.
Stuff. I don't know.
Sounds as good as anything, you know.
Sounds like something that happens when you join Phi Delta. I don't know.
The K-I-N, though, is what makes it Jewish.
Right.
Yeah, that's yeah. true, right? Well, welcome to the show, guys. Victoria, you've been here before, so when they said you were coming back, I was excited because you're a fun person. And you last time you came in here as a social media influencer, and I know you still have like a lot of followers. They didn't leave you.
No.
Yeah.
Thank God. Thanks.
Yeah. So how did that work for you? I mean, when did you start like social media and stuff?
Yeah, so I started my social media, like really growing it about three and a half years ago. Essentially, I moved to Los Angeles and my neighbors were two of the like top Viners. And I just
Which
said,
ones?
The Paul brothers, Jake and Logan.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was, I had never known that that was a job. And just one day they were like, oh yeah, Taco Bell paid me X amount of dollars to just Snapchat for 10 seconds. And I was like, I gotta up my selfie game. And I literally went home and like, spray tanned and just took a great selfie, and that was it. That,
really?
Every day after that, it was just
for sure.
working on it. Yeah.
So what kind of stuff do you post? Mainly pictures of you and stuff?
Yeah, it's always kind of like an inside look of my life. you know, earlier on, I was always doing that low-hanging fruit of the sexy photos because, yeah, easy
it's
followers.
It's easy, right?
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you all for following me. And then I've tried to evolve it just a little bit more of my personality, and because I love to write and create and create content. So making videos, and now we're, you know, I'm a producer and an actress. And so I'm always like trying to post more of my personality along with my work ethic.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, because you don't want to only be successful because of your looks, you know, eventually people expect more than that.
Oh, they
yeah.
Do?
Yeah. No,
I'm just
it depends who, right? I guess the followers that are hoping the clothes will come off eventually don't care.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, I can. It's so hard for men. Don't even have to like consider these things. You know what I mean? Like the low. What is? There's no low hang. You can take a picture with your shirt on or off, and it, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
For men,
exactly.
Right? Like, I mean, there are. I guess there are like Instagram male models mm-hmm. who are still advertising like fit tea. But I just feel like their audience is so niche. I don't know. I feel like
male,
you know,
models modeling
like,
fit.
We need another male model.
Yeah, right.
In the world,
we don't have enough
guys with puppies. That's
right.
The other one.
Those are good.
Fit tea and puppies.
See,
yeah.
there's a niche market there. You know.
Oh yeah.
Like marketing.
Yeah.
I'll follow that.
There you go, Aaron. Have you done any modeling or anything in your life?
Could I?
No, have you?
I'm
I think you could. Yeah, I think you're good looking. Yeah. You have a cool picture on
not,
the website.
No, I've not done any modeling. I think you're probably looking at my headshot.
No, this is a full shot thing, but okay, whatever.
Oh, the
you look
picture.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, yeah. I've never done any modeling.
Okay. So
there's still time.
Yeah, apparently. There you go. You know? Yeah.
I need to work out
a lot.
Did
you start collaborating with the Logan brothers?
Around that time, I was still so new. I think that there's always too that feeling when you're this big time million follower creator that you don't want to just bring in a stranger who doesn't have any following and just like give them what you worked for like 6 years.
Right.
So I didn't really get collaborations with them as much as I was like, okay, so that's how you do it. Got it. I'm going to go now like hustle my own.
Yeah.
So like, I think it would have been really great for me had I been able to collaborate them, but I wasn't able to. So yeah.
That's cool. I mean, I started my account a couple years ago, but it was literally right before Instagram changed the algorithm, and it's so hard to get followers now without, you know, entering in those stupid like whatever.
Yeah.
I refuse
engagement
to join
groups,
those.
Yeah. Hey girls, can you comment on my
shout
last
for shout
post?
Shout
no,
for shout
no,
shout
no.
for shout and or like people ask me to post their content. I'm like, I only post content that I create, and you're not even in weed, so I don't even know why you're approaching me. But people don't realize how hard it is to not only grow an audience, especially now.
Mm-hmm.
But even back then, but to like keep it, you know, keep them engaged and engaged, I guess would be the proper word or whatnot, because I'm just under 20,000, but I've worked for every single fucking follower that I had. And I refuse to buy followers.
Right. Yeah.
And I refuse to post other people's content. And I also like there's no pictures of me like in bikini, you know, like mine's just strictly off. When I first started my account, I didn't even want people to know if I was a guy or a girl, because I wanted my content to speak for itself, the humor, because I make weed memes. And there's a bias, I think, especially with women, you know, they just see you put up a beautiful picture of you, regardless. It could be in a bikini or a dress, and they're automatically going to assume, you know, X, Y, Z about you.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really cool.
So so you spend quite a bit of time on this, right? I mean, it's a big part of your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a full-time job, like 7 days a week, 10 hours a day for 2 years.
Wow.
Are you on YouTube?
I never really made the move. I tried, and at the time, it was just, I was doing live stream. So live stream was what was taking like the 10 hours a day. And that's what I recommend to anyone who's really like, okay, Victoria, we don't want to hear about you. We want to hear, how do I grow my following? You have to find another popular app that's just blowing up. So like a friend of mine, she had like, just a couple hundred followers the same time I did, just, you know, 3 years ago. We both started growing our following at the same time. I chose to do live streaming, and that worked out really well for me. And then right after that, she chose to join Musical.ly. And I think she has like a million subscribers on Musical.ly. She's like moving that to YouTube.
And
now
your
she
live
has
streaming
like,
was via Instagram?
It was Periscope and Meerkat, the two ones that were like really popular then.
Wow. That's amazing. So you got to be there early, right?
Yeah.
How have you been doing with social media, Aaron? Has that been a big part of your life?
I mean, yes, it's been a big part in that, you know, I was in college when Facebook came out, and you know, it was a way that I met my roommate and you know, sort of was able to introduce myself to people that I had never met before. So
right.
I played a big part in that way.
Yeah.
But I'm social media inept. And I've never really tried to build a following, at least not until I met Victoria.
Right.
But, you know, she does that for me, so.
Oh, that's cool. You say you're partnering with someone who knows what the hell they're doing, right. You know?
Well, it's really important. Like, we have this production company now, and people look at your follow. They'll instantly go to Instagram, and that's like your portfolio. That's your certification almost, mm-hmm. saying that you right. have content. You have at least some audience mm-hmm. to like watch what you're making.
Right.
So it was
like
important to me that you had a following.
I remember in college though actually exchanging information with my, you know, soon to be roommate about what items I was going to bring to college and what items he was going to bring.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have a small, you know, 12-inch television I can bring. And he was like, you know, well, I have this dresser and this. And so we were like talking and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Now nobody really cares about mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, right.
What, on Facebook?
On That's Facebook,
you,
yeah.
How old are you?
I'm just
kidding.
A
12-inch TV. I mean,
it was a small dorm.
I didn't
room
even
in
know
Boston.
They made them that big.
Yeah, it was leftover from the 80s or something. You know, that's funny. So, Aaron, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Western Massachusetts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Small town called Northampton.
Oh, I'm going to Vermont soon. I'm going to be going to Northampton.
Skiing?
I don't fucking ski.
skate.
I somehow went to college in Vermont for 2 years, and I've never gone skiing. And I lived in Utah. I lived in a lot of places where you can ski and, like, never... I don't know why I didn't take the plunge, literally.
I feel like most skaters also skate snowboard.
They do. And here's the thing. My current boyfriend now, he's a gym. He loves, you know, skateboarding and skating or whatever. So he is teaching. He, like, loves seeing me try to, like, learn how to skateboard. My ex-boyfriend, however, I flew all the way to fucking Denver just to hang out with him and would refuse to teach me how to skate. And I'm an athletic person. Like, or I wanted to snowboard.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And he refused to, like, take the time. I'm like, that's why you're my ex-boyfriend. You're a fucking asshole.
Apparently,
why wouldn't
a lot
you
want to
teach me? It's romantic. But yeah. So I used to go to college in Vermont, a small liberal arts college, and then which, as you know, is very close. It's in Putney, which is southern Vermont, which is, you know, an hour away from Northampton.
I think I've been there.
Yeah, I love Northampton. So you think they're hippie here?
Right.
Wait till you go to Northampton.
That's
really?
Exactly what I said.
It's literally like crazy.
It makes Southern California look like Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So
wow,
hippie. It's so, and they have entire colleges for just women there. Like literally, like what's the famous Smith College?
Smith College in Mount Holyoke.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Just women.
Yeah.
What was childhood like for you? Do you have siblings?
I don't.
Really?
I don't.
Only child?
Yes.
How cool is that? Did you like it or did you always want siblings?
I mean, I guess, you know, there was a part of me growing up that wanted siblings, that wanted, you know, someone to, like, you know, confide in. But now, I guess, in my older years, I'm thankful for,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And you get the entire inheritance, too, you know.
That's
you don't,
true, too.
You
yeah.
don't have to
yeah.
share it to
yeah.
anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that like?
Very cool. So, when did you move to L.A.?
About 7 years ago.
I see.
Yeah,
did you go to school?
Yeah, so I went to Boston University, and they had an internship program called BU in L.A., and they basically, like, set you up with internships, and they, you know, find you a place to live, and so I just moved out here. It was, you know, I always knew I was going to move out to Los Angeles.
Really?
This just sort of, you know, made the transition a little bit smoother.
Yeah.
So I lived in Park La Brea.
Uh-huh.
And that was my final semester in college. And then I just stayed out here.
Oh, very cool. Did your parents support you with that?
The decision? Do they support my decision to, like, pursue filmmaking?
Well, to move to L.A.
They did, yeah.
So you wanted to make films early on in your life? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Really?
When I was 12, I think I picked up my first video camera on a trip to California.
Uh-huh.
And I did not let it go. And when
really?
I got home, I insisted that my parents buy me a camera from Best Buy.
Yeah.
Because I was an only child.
Because that's what
child,
you want to do, yeah.
insist on
I'm
going to
make movies.
There you go. Wow. Victoria, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern Maryland.
Ooh. Southern Maryland.
I went to college in D.C.
Oh my!
I literally went. I did the whole
You did the whole thing.
Yeah, I like did the took college 5 years, three colleges. You know exactly.
Eastern I went to board. Towson. Where did you go?
American. Okay. I saw Citizen Cope in concert in Towson.
He was there. That happened.
Good concert.
Yeah. Were you exposed to politics when you were growing up? Because it is close to D.C. and everything.
Yeah, I mean, well, Southern Maryland is kind of its own little thing.
Oh, really?
They support some things that I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're a college town, too, which is...
Yeah,
well, Towson weird. Is, but yeah. Southern Maryland is like Solomon's Island. Right. So Towson is much more progressive, I would say. It's out there in Baltimore, so a little bit more like city like thinking. Southern Maryland, I grew up in a very, very small town that was like Lesby Maryland. I don't even know the population. I don't care to think about it. Sorry, hometown. I don't want to go back.
So you felt you had to get out of there, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And what about you? Do you have siblings?
No, I'm an only child as
really?
Well. I was also insisting on things. In
really?
Life.
Huh? That's cool. So you get the entire inheritance, too. There you go. Yeah.
Later,
so,
Mom.
Now, growing up, did you go to school, too, college?
Yeah, I went to Towson.
Oh, okay. That's what you said. Okay. I'm like, my mind is like, where did you grow up? Okay. So where's that? Is that in Maryland, too?
It's in Maryland, and it's about like 30 miles south of Baltimore.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All right. And what did you take in school there?
I was studying marketing. So, you know, I like specialized in advertising and PR. And then that actually lent a huge hand to building my brand for my social media. I was like branding myself and like just building my own brand really, really easily. Yeah.
I got a master's in marketing and I studied social media and that's how I, you know, fell into everything.
Exactly.
It's so helpful. Yeah. It's crazy how like it's playing out later on and you're like, what am I going to use this for?
Right.
You'll use it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Marketing is everything.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You know,
but it's also, I find the hard, I don't know if this is true for you, but for me, I've marketed so many different kinds of brands, people, whatever. But I find marketing myself is the most challenging.
Oh, yeah. Writing about yourself.
I find it like very, you know, because it, I don't know. For some reason, I tend to second guess myself when it comes to like, okay, I'm going to put up this picture and then I'm going to say this. But I'm like, is this my brand? You know? Like,
right. Yeah.
Right. So it involves more thought, I guess. Yeah. And what about you? When you went to school, did you go for film? Did you know that's what you're going to do?
TV. I was in school of communication.
Very cool, huh? I mean, you go into college, you go, oh, this is a fun course, man. I get to make films. So I salute you for that because although I was attracted to that as well, you know, I didn't focus on that, you know. So I think when you focus on something, whatever it is that you want to do, you get there, you know, whatever it is you focus on, you know. And you gotta have the confidence that you're gonna do it, you know. Not just because there's a lot of competition and it's hard and all that doesn't mean you're not gonna make it, you know. You just gotta really pursue it the way you understand.
Of course.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So cool. So you went to college and you moved here and everything. When did you say you moved here?
I moved here like 7 years ago.
7 years ago.
I think it's been 7 years now. I'm starting to lose count.
I know.
So it's home
after
for you,
a while
right?
in LA, the years tend to blend together.
Right.
I'm like,
the
I
lack
keep
of
saying
seasons
4 years,
too.
And I'm like, but that's been 4 years.
Yeah. And Victoria, how long have you lived here?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Okay, so it's home for both.
Where did
of
you move from before here?
I came straight from Baltimore.
Oh wow.
So I like graduated, spent a few years at a marketing company or like a company. I did marketing for them, and then I came here
in Maryland.
In Maryland, yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah. So you guys started collaborating. How did you guys meet? I mean, did you meet under business circumstances and things like that?
I'll let you take this one.
Okay, go ahead.
We met in an audition, and it was for a WizKid music video. I did not get the part. I just wasn't what they were looking for a Nigerian rap video.
Their loss.
I know.
Yeah. I think were you would have been great.
Were you doing the running the auditioning?
I was directing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah,
you were there.
Before, you know, we made this film,
right.
we Well, I personally used to just direct music videos. So, you know, I'd be sent a certain amount of money, and then it would be up to me to produce the whole thing and then direct it and cast it.
Right.
And we met in one of the auditions.
Yeah.
So music videos are still popular, right? Even they don't really play them on TV anymore, but I guess online, right?
Yeah.
Well, YouTube is like the big thing. It's where all the kids are watching.
They found a new home, you know, because, I mean, I grew up on MTV.
Or whatever the rappers, who cares?
Yeah, right?
Shit, I don't care.
But I remember them starting music videos in the late 80s, early 90s with MTV, VH1 and stuff. Yeah. And people made videos specifically for that. But now they're making it specifically for YouTube. And
that's right.
And
what was that television show called?
Pop-up video?
TRL.
TRL. Yeah. They should bring that. Honestly, like, that's every day after school I would come home and watch Carson Daly on TRL.
Yeah.
And like that's, but I mean, I guess there's no point for that with the internet.
Yeah, that's true, right?
That's where they drop it now.
Yeah, but people still like TV.
They should make it a web show then.
Yeah.
Because it could be worldwide. Yeah. Let's get together, guys. Contact Carson Daly. Bring your black nail polish.
I'll bet you they're going to bring it back, though. Somebody's going to go, let's try music television.
They should bring a pop-up video. That shit was so good.
The pop-up video was amazing.
That would be so good now. They could do YouTube videos.
Right. Yeah.
Pop-up, you know? Let's bring it back, guys. You heard it here first.
I think we need an idea board on this wall.
For real.
We've got a lot of good ideas in this room.
Right. Collaborating, for sure.
I'm going to
green
my
bees.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you were casting a commercial, right? A music video, and you said you didn't get the part.
I did not, but
what happened? So how did you guys follow up on that?
Well, we're both from the East Coast, so in the casting room, we kind of like had that sort of common interest. And I looked up his directing portfolio later, and I was just really impressed with his samples of work. I thought they were really next level. And so I had been writing some pieces, and I just thought to myself, like, if I could align with him, I could take myself to the next level, hopefully help him in some ways too. And I very nervously DM'd him, even though I had at the time a 250,000 following. I was like, okay,
I can be intimidating. I mean,
I don't know. I feel like
he has 800 followers.
He's a really good director.
Actually, when we met, I think I had 300.
But his fans are awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I didn't even. I actually like talked myself out of it, and I was like, all right, no, you're not. All right, we'll do it later. And then I was like, no, do it. And so the next day, I went ahead and I sent it, and then immediately he was like, yeah, let's set up a meeting. And then we had a meeting. I brought like a treatment to the meeting, and then that was just it. We just started working. I helped produce the short film you were in the middle of at that time, and then. Yep.
That's
I was
so
writing,
cool.
And then we started co-writing this feature.
That's really cool.
Yeah. What do you mean by producing it? What did you have to do? He was directing it, and you came in as a producer?
This is for a different project.
Right.
This was like a personal project for you that you had already kind of gotten the legwork done. But yeah, I came in as a late producer for acting class, which is just this kind of like fun little short that he made. And so, yeah, I helped with the scouting of the location. I helped on day of with, like, just, you know, organizing and call sheets and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, very cool.
I still have Victoria's audition tape, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's so embarrassing.
That's
so
cool. I'll turn it on every now and again.
Yeah.
Like, this is
you just
motivation.
Keep it hidden.
But, no, imagine how embarrassing this is. At the time, I come in, and I'm like, it's 9 a.m. I'm auditioning for a rap video. So I came in like a club dress at like 9 a.m. on a Monday.
I love it.
Full makeup.
Tell me there's
extensions
heels.
I'm wearing
eyelashes?
Like my best heels. Eyelashes are on, probably
Girl.
From like the night before.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm serious. I had extensions in, and I come in and I like see myself kind of working the room, and I'm like, hi. Oh, you're from Massachusetts. I'm from the East Coast too. Oh, da, da, da. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassing.
Right. She was working the room.
I was working
room.
The
yes.
room.
I
and
love
I like
it.
See it, and I'm so embarrassed.
I
now,
love it.
I also thought I looked really cute. So, like, yeah. I was doing good that day.
Oh my God, I went to a casting audition last week, and it was to play a high person, so obviously I got really stoned right before. And so I'm like new to casting, because I'm a comedian, and I'm not like an actress by trade or whatever. So I walk in, and it's at BuzzFeed, and there's a huge
Amazing.
long like boardroom table. And again, I've been to a couple castings, but like nothing like this. And there's like 11 people, all different kinds of backgrounds, sitting behind their computers. And so I walk in and I go to take a seat at the casting table, and they're like, please take a seat over here in front of that empty chair where the camera is facing. And I was like, oh, you didn't mean I didn't get to sit here? You know, so It was a pro.
But wait, I feel like that's an excellent. Like,
oh my God, are you kidding? It was very. It worked for me. They said I owned it, so I was like, whatever.
You.
I don't know if they casted me.
I'm gonna follow up with you. I'm gonna know.
They said I. What did my friend say who was in the casting? He said I knocked it out of the park. But who knows? You know.
So like, this was recent.
This
was
last week.
Not, wow.
This was last week. So
I feel like I've never. That's something that if I were on the casting side of the table, I'd be like, that is a strong choice.
Yeah,
I made a strong choice today.
Bold decision.
Bold.
I gave. I forgave myself afterwards because I'm like, oh, whatever. You know, I'm new at this. I don't even speak English.
So you kept doing music videos, and then, but now you guys made a film, right?
Yes.
So, how did that come about, Aaron?
I'll let you take this.
Is this a film that you wrote? Was that your idea to get started with that?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, I wrote a script that followed, you know, several different characters on dating apps.
So cool.
Okay.
Tinder, Grindr, Bumble. And after meeting Victoria, you know, I wanted more of a female perspective on the whole world.
Right.
And so I asked if Victoria wanted to help out writing, and she did. And so then we spent the next like 6 months or so together sort of completely rewriting the whole story. And
because you write it one way. He's like, okay, I think I need to get a female perspective in here. And she comes and she's like, this is not. Nope. This
yeah.
is.
I was
this
like,
is not how it
we'll
happens.
Start on page one.
Yeah.
I think the lead actress even made a comment at one point.
Did.
She said, I can tell that there is a girl on the writing
team. I love it.
I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, but what's amazing though? I mean, you get like authors. That really can, like, a man can really understand a woman, you know? I mean, I think when you start writing and stuff and you get into the characters and, yeah, you do research, you get women to be on the project with you, you know? So you can understand this. Otherwise, you know, why is he asking me to read this? This is probably a guy wrote this, right?
Right.
So
well, you want the authenticity to come out through the characters,
right.
And you'll know. I mean, women, men, and women, we pick up on things. We will very much know a woman would never say this or do
right.
this,
right.
and vice versa.
Right.
A man would never, you know,
yeah,
you know, whatever. So,
so that's cool. So
true.
You made a collaborative team. You decided you're going to write this together. What was the next step? Did you have to raise funds for this, or was this like on a shoestring? How did it work for you?
I'm an only child, so
yes. and he's getting part
Damn
of the
it.
Inheritance early.
I mean, yeah, you know, it was we raised money. We had a Patreon account, and so you know we would do some crowdfunding that way.
And that goes with live streaming, right? Like you can live stream it and ask for funding, or people can donate through the
Patreon.
Stream.
I don't know if Patreon has the live stream. But there is a monetized like live stream thing. What's that one? You now will
okay.
do that one. And then there's a bunch actually. There's like I don't even remember them. But yeah, and then we also did some brand deals. We had some like local brands that wanted to be included and mentioned in the movie. So they kicked in some money, and then
this is where Victoria came in huge. I mean, she was closing brand deals,
left and right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
really?
Crazy.
So that helped the production. I mean, you were able to raise some funds that way.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Very cool. You
yeah,
say
we did pretty well.
Yeah, so a very resourceful partner for you, right?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
So what is the project that you guys just we're working on together? Is it a short? Is it a full?
It's like a full length movie.
Is this the dating one?
This is
mm-hmm.
the dating one.
What
full
is it called?
It's called
movie.
Electric Love.
Really? Yeah. A full length movie. Wow.
Feature
was that
film.
Like your first feature film? I mean, had you done any short films before?
I had actually made a feature film called 15 North maybe now 5 years ago.
Okay.
And then since then I made a web series and a whole bunch of shorts. But this is the second feature I've done.
Really?
And probably like the biggest undertaking of my life.
Yeah, Victoria, what kind of undertaking is this? I mean, when you came into the and you saw all this, did you feel it can be done, or is it like insurmountable almost?
Oh, no, I definitely have a very can-do attitude, like almost even take on more than you're able and then just figure it out.
Right.
Because people, you can do it. Like, you really can. You can just sleep less. You know, you can just figure it out.
Right.
And Aaron's a fantastic teammate, too, whereas if I did take on too much, I would be like, okay, I'm literally like, cause I can't even think straight. And I would tell him what was on our plate and he would help like organize. And I mean, it was just an amazing partnership.
Yeah.
But yeah, Electric Love, I'm very, very proud of it. It's a really comprehensive project that followed four couples, modern day dating using Tinder, Bumble, Grindr, and we had like a massive cast too. That was the other thing. It's our locations were just beautiful all around Los Angeles, and we have like an extremely talented cast.
That's really awesome. Yeah. So there's a lot of people. It's a big cast.
All in all, including said, right? Just like your kind of like sideline characters, it's right. About like 50 or so, like wow. People who are, they all have like a character, like they are there, yeah. But it's really a core eight. No, I mean, two of our leads, and then we have our supporting cast, which is another. Right.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
Still a lot of people to work with, huh?
Are yeah. You guys going to do the film festival circuit?
Oh, yeah.
Hell's yeah.
Yeah, you have to, right?
I can already
the goal,
see.
The
being
goal
in the
is to hit the South by Southwest.
Yeah, event. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So what do you have to do to get in there? You pretty much submit? Right?
I mean, that's all we can do. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm doing a little bit of marketing on the sideline to generate
create
buzz.
The hype. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, but there's a lot of festivals, right? I mean, have you been to any yet? When was the film completed?
Well, we're still in post.
A couple days ago.
We
had our first cut.
Really? Yeah.
Have you guys reached out to any of the dating platforms to see if they want to sponsor it?
We did. They didn't write back. Weird.
Fuck
them. Well, they probably get hit with so many things. And you know what? It's also like what I learned is when you're trying to get funding or recognition from someone, you better have something already running.
That's exactly
right.
It,
they don't want to. They don't want to hear about something that you're doing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right. They want to see it working and operating and functioning. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to. So you actually have to work harder until you have the finished product. Yeah. Then you go. Here you go. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So that's awesome.
They want to see what you've already done, and you better have some sort of, like, accolade to your name for certain. That was one of the harder parts about, like, casting name talents is all the agents wanted to know, you know, more about our, like, oh, well, what else have you done, and which festivals did that go to, and who bought that one? You know, it's like you have to already have a little bit of a...
Hollywood.
You really do, right? If you're just joining us, we're talking to Aaron Fratkin and Victoria Fratz. They just, like you just heard, they're completing the movie Electric Love. And this is about social media and dating apps. Mm-hmm. Now, so you both obviously have, well, you've probably been on apps. Have you been on apps too?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You have.
You've been on the apps way more than me.
Really?
Okay, I've never had an online dating profile. Not
really?
Not to brag.
Yeah. How would that be bragging, though?
I'm just kidding. I mean, because I've never had to go online to find a date.
That's cool. Yeah, that's true. But it's not. Sometimes it's not just about dating. It's about maybe relationships, no? Or let me ask you this, then. I mean, some people are saying this app is better for this. Some app is better for this. Do people actually look for long-term relationships? I guess it depends what age and who.
Of course. Michael and Olivia met on Tinder. They hope that Tinder will sponsor their wedding, their weed wedding.
Yeah,
it won't
really
happen, but my sister, her ex-boyfriend, they met on Tinder. I feel like I'm, like, when the dating apps came out, I already had, like, I was already in a relationship.
Right.
And, like,
So you're never available. You were never single long enough to actually have to use them.
But I also, to me, to my core, I am a firm believer in natural, you meet people for, like, that to me is forced, but I see why people do it if they work the 9 to 5, the 12 hours a day, and they just can't, they're not meeting people. So
I thought in college until I left college and I was out in the real world and I just was unable to meet people.
Right. I see why people do it 100%, but for me, I like the meetings.
Yeah, you
organic
want it more organic, you know? And analog. You know, you don't want.
I'm
understand
sure though,
that.
If I was a little bit, if I was younger though, because my sister, she's 5 years younger than me. She has a different outlook on it. It's more like you personalize everything in your life. Why not personalize the person? You know, like you can customize.
Right,
just
what
go
you
through.
Want.
I don't want this fucker. I don't. You know what I mean? For me, I have to go on 12 dates to find to swipe left. You know what I'm saying, or whatever. I don't.
That's
even know.
True. Yeah, but definitely. So you're traditional that way.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. It's more organic. You're right. It flows better. But, and also, I realized that when it's on dating apps, yeah, you create like a laundry list, right? Like almost a requirement. This is what it is. This is what it is, right? So, But so things become like deal breakers for you. But when you meet someone in person, sometimes you don't even think about these things until later, you know? So it's like, because you're just connected to them for certain reasons, you know?
And I think there's pros and cons to both sides, because I think, like, for example, Olivia, when she met her fiance, in her profile, she put 420. So I'm sure that weeded, pun intended, out a lot of people, you know, who weren't 420 friendly. Versus I've dated people and then 3 months in, they're like, you need to quit. And I'm like, fuck, I just wasted 3 months of your time.
Right.
And mine. You know, so I see the benefit of why. You
That's
know.
Why your friend, she has a friend who is a cannabis matchmaker, right? She finds people that like cannabis and matches them. And you see why. Some people have to do that because, like Rachel said, you know, you might connect with someone. He's like, you got to quit. You know, it's like, fuck you, you know.
Yeah. Is there an app for that?
There should be. Well, it's funny because my friend, her Instagram, there should be a weed dating app. 100%.
There are. I try those.
Well, my friend Olivia, she has a huge Snapchat. She's a huge Instagram following, but on her Snapchat, it's Weed Bay. So people, she'll snap other people who send her, like, pictures of them consuming cannabis, and then people will respond like, who is that, send me his code, you know. And she's like, I've become like this dating service, you know. So who knows?
Yeah,
you know,
just naturally she fell into it.
Well,
right?
it's because it does bring people together.
They should call it joint connection,
right?
Like, ooh, yeah. There you go.
Or weed base. Really, exactly. I like joint. Really, I know. Idea. You guys, we're coming up with stuff here. Right.
No, there's definitely an app you can find. So on the app that I used, I don't even remember, that was some time ago, you know, when I was still using apps. There was one, and then you can choose either friends or more than friends and things like that, you know. But you can just connect with people who are like-minded.
Listen,
you know,
there's no problem finding relationships on dating apps, but if you're trying to find friends, that is weird.
Yeah. Right. No, that's
that
true.
That is weird to me.
I agree.
But
that's because
of,
we already have friends.
Yeah.
If we were all friendless, we'd be there with the other friendless.
Exactly.
And we'd be like, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Right.
But I think, like, I really think in the future, like, people are going to be like, oh, my God. You guys met in person?
Oh, yeah.
So weird.
Yeah.
Gross. What is that like? You know, like, that's the future.
Yeah. Well, it's already here as far as kids not wanting to talk on the phone, for crying out loud, man. Everything is texting and texting. You know, I can't get people on the phone like my kids. So.
Well, not only that, there's no reason to even speak on the phone because they automate. They like your voicemails are all read out, transcribed to you.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, not only do I not have to answer the phone, I also don't even need to call you back.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Or listen to your voice.
Or
leave
listen
a
to
message.
Your. I don't even need to know what you sound like.
That's what I do. You're right. That's what I do now. Wow. We're really, in one way, we're getting closer, and another way, we're distancing ourselves from each other. Wouldn't you say that, Victoria? I don't know. I'm seeing that. You know, it's like more behind screens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely grew up calling. I even, like, grew up in the time where you had to answer the phone and just guess who was on the other line. Like, it was a real roulette type of situation.
Who is this?
No caller ID.
Frat's residence.
How did you get my number, you know?
But, like, you did this movie, for example, like, a lot of business is still done very much on the phone. So when I had to call agents, I was like, all right, you can do this. Remember how to answer the phone? All right, okay, here you go. Say hello. This is your calling.
First
and, like,
step.
I, like, actually... would give myself like a little talking to every single phone call, because I was like, all right, you say your name first and then you ask what their name is, and then I was like, all right, this is
like
how a phone,
phone
call
etiquette
goes.
right.
I actually did that, but I'm embarrassed to admit it.
I was like nervous before making a phone call now, especially if it's with someone I've never spoken to before.
Oh, do you guys have your phone voices where, like, it goes up a little bit high? You're like, hello. You
know what I'm using it right now.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I feel like I am too. But my voice can get so much deeper than this. Like,
right when you're really relaxed.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
We have a friend who makes fun of me for the way that I answer the phone. I always say hi.
Yeah, like you go up.
You asking a question.
Are you calling me?
Yeah. I just, like, I need to aspire to be the person that I sound like on the telephone calls with, like, Comcast.
Right?
That's so confident. Hello.
I know, because you
what?
Know exactly.
What?
Exactly.
I can treat you however I want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How fucked up, though, that every phone call that you have with these companies is now recorded.
Ugh.
They can use that against you.
Really?
Yeah, it'll say anytime this call. Maybe
no, I know, but use it against you for what, though?
I don't know. You've heard the guy that went off on the Comcast dude, and I think they released that, and he got fired.
Oh.
Mm. Or the guy who he went off on, like, call whatever happened, it got turned over to his job because of how much of a dick he was.
Whoa. Wow. Damn.
Whoa. Oh, well. So the movie is Electric Love. Yeah. And so when it comes out, how are people going to be able to see it?
Well,
does it have to go through the festivals first?
Yeah, that's the thing, is we definitely want to put it through the festival first, unless an interested buyer is listening and they want to just right. give us $1 million.
I mean, so what if you wanted to distribute it now? Can't you do it like on other websites and things like that? Like even a Netflix type of thing.
Yeah, deal, so I mean, you know, the goal is to get on a platform like Netflix. My other film is on Amazon right now.
Nice.
So you can rent it or purchase it. But yeah, I would say, you know, Amazon, Hulu, Netflix are like the go-to platform.
Right, right. So yeah. You don't really need to go to distribution companies anymore, right? You don't. But I mean, wouldn't you want it on the big screen too?
I mean, it's very rare for, you know, independent films to get like national releases like that.
Right.
But so yeah, that would be fantastic. And we will certainly have, you know, local screenings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a trailer for the film? Can people see it yet? Or
not yet.
Not yet.
Once we actually, like, lock picture, we'll cut together a trailer. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'll go through, like, the whole film festival circuit. And hopefully they'll help us, you know, promote the trailer.
Yeah, very nice. So how long is the film?
It's about an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow,
yeah.
That's a lot of work, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That takes a long time to do.
Yeah.
How long did it take you guys to, let's say, production, not even post, but just filming?
It's about a 20-day shoot.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. But it wasn't continuous. We would basically shoot for like 2 or 3 days and then break for 1 or 2 days.
5 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so, Victoria, you were the lead in the film?
No, I play kind of like the...
She didn't get the part.
I didn't get the part.
Didn't get the part.
No, I'm just kidding. You are a lead, girl.
Thank you. One day. No, I play the, like, new boyfriend's best girlfriend. So I'm kind of like the foil to the leading lady.
I
annoy her.
Yeah.
and I really enjoyed that part. It was great for me. It was fun. And then it also allowed me to do just like a heavy hand of producing at the same time.
Nice. Let's give credit to some of the people you want to, the closest people to the production.
I give the most credit to Victoria.
Yeah. but what about the actors in the movie?
Oh, absolutely. We have I cannot talk about the casting enough. We have such a talented cast. Our lead actress is Mia Serafino. She was one of the leads on, was NBC's Crowded?
Yes.
Yeah, the name sounds familiar.
She has just a ton of amazing credits, and she became the character more. I really live with that character a lot, and she became the character even more than my imagination had done.
Cool.
She's everything. I can't say enough about her.
Awesome.
And then
Zachary Morin is the other lead. He's the male.
The male
lead.
Part.
Sounds
good. Well,
yeah. And then other like supporting cast members. We had Matt Bush, who's on that show Goldbergs.
Uh-huh.
We have Kyle Howard, Eric Griffin from Workaholics.
Eric Griffin. He's a great comedian.
Yeah.
So you got some good cast.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see the film. I mean, now you got me all curious and everything. So, so you don't have a website for the film yet, but you have one for your production company.
Yes.
Do you want to give that out? If people are interested in contacting you?
Yeah, it's okay. Social House Films is our production company, so you can find us at socialhousefilms.com or at Social House Films on Instagram, and then we have an Instagram for the movie, which is at Electric Love Movie.
Cool. And there's some stills and stuff from the film?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm following
awesome.
You guys.
Well,
I'm
going to check that out for sure. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're
Thanks
totally
for having
out
us.
Of time,
thank
of
you.
Course. Aaron and Victoria, guys, check them out. Tell people how they can find you on social media.
Find me at I'm Victoria Fratz.
And I'm
and you?
At Aaron Fradkin.
At Aaron Fradkin? Oh, on just Instagram. A name. Just yeah. a name. Okay. Because you are I am.
I'm like the letter I and then M, Victoria.
Okay, gotcha. We want to make sure that people
Thank
get that.
You guys.
And all you have to do really is just Google their names. You know, you don't have to remember shit anymore yeah. today, right? You just Google names, man. Everything comes up.
I don't even know how I got here to be honest.
Yeah, right?
Me every day.
So, Rachel, you're coming up next here with Olivia, right?
Yes, we are.
And if you guys want to know, want to listen to Everything Cannabis and Beyond by two beautiful ladies, this is the place to hear it. So stay tuned. In 10 minutes, they're going to come on. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us.
You guys are awesome.
Yes, much success Likewise. With the movie,
Thank you.
Really.
Thank
and
you.
You're welcome back anytime.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks for having us.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.